In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The disciples sound woefully underprepared. The Boy Scout motto is, "Be prepared." And Jesus' disciples clearly are not. Any scout would have some rapid advice. They seem unready for the major transformation that is coming as those who have been disciples become apostles. Those who follow become those who are sent out. Up until this point, the disciples have been followers and witnesses, sticking close to Jesus. They have been by his side as Jesus taught and preached. They've watched him as he cast out demons, healed all manner of people, including Simon Peter's own mother-in-law, and raised a young girl who looked to have most certainly died. They have witnessed all kinds of power up close. But up until this point, Jesus has not sent them out on their own. One might think Jesus was waiting for an opportunity to perform an even greater miracle. But in fact, what happened just before Jesus sent them out to preach the gospel on their own was rejection. Jesus and his disciples had gone back to Jesus' hometown. You could be forgiven for thinking, like me, that he would have been received well. I would have expected the typical story of local boy makes good, or small town hero returns home. But instead of a ticker tape parade, Jesus and his followers were greeted with disbelief and questions. His hometown responded to him and his wisdom and deeds of power with antagonism. Who exactly does this guy think he is? It seems they would have been more comfortable if Jesus had stayed in his place and been a carpenter. Fortunately for us, he did not. Mark tells us that Jesus was amazed at their unbelief, but I wonder how surprised he was. I wonder if Jesus had an inkling of what would happen before he even got there. Maybe, just maybe, he brought his disciples there to show them and teach them about rejection and what happens when people believe that things cannot be changed. Jesus left his hometown and his synagogue, and he went among the villages teaching. And it was then that he called the 12 and finally began to send them out two by two. He gave them something, but he took a lot of things away. What he gave them was not a material thing. It was authority. What he took away was almost every material thing that we would assume they would need for their journey. The disciples, now apostles, were ordered by their teacher to take no food, no bag, and no money. They did get to keep their sandals and one tunic, but not two. And oh yes, they could take a staff. It was then Jesus paired them up and sent them out into the world on their mission. The apostles, the very first missionaries for Christ, were by all modern standards distinctly unprepared. One might almost say they were primed for failure. And yet, here we sit, 2,000 years later, way more than 12, preaching the gospel. It's a pretty amazing thing. I have found myself thinking about journeys and preparedness since I read an article in The New Yorker about a month ago. It was about a janitor who works for Customs and Border Protection in the US. He took this janitorial job, a stable job, so that he would have time to pursue his true passion, photography. As he was emptying out the trash in his job, he discovered that it was full of items that had been confiscated from immigrants. He began to artistically arrange and photograph what he found. Belts, wallets, some IDs, some stuffed animals that belonged to children. The photos are quite moving. And among them is a very simple photograph of almost 50 Catholic rosaries arranged on a gray background. They were deemed non-essential personal property and seized by US customs agents. They are all small, about the same size, with a variety of beads and weavings. Wood and plastic and glass, red and green, yellow and blue and white and brown. Each one has a tiny cross. That New Yorker article got a lot of press coverage. The photo that was circulated the most was the one with the rosaries. I think it resonated with so many people because somehow those rosaries preached the gospel. Each one represented someone's hope and faith in God and prayers for a better future. When Jesus sent his apostles out, he did it with hope. He hoped that they would be welcomed where they were going, welcomed into people's houses, because hospitality was vitally important in the ancient Near East. Without food or money or a bag to store anything in, the apostles were utterly dependent upon the generosity of other people for shelter and food and aid. More than anything else, though, those apostles were dependent upon God. The 19th century German theologian with a big German name, Friedrich Schleiermacher, wrote about this state of being. He calls it God consciousness, the feeling of absolute dependence upon God and nothing else. Knowing as deeply as we know ourselves that we are ultimately and completely dependent on God. With that realization, the apostles were able to do amazing things on their own. Without Jesus standing beside them, those very ordinary men proclaimed repentance, cast out demons, and anointed and cured the sick. I wonder if they were surprised at themselves. I also wonder how many people told them they couldn't do it. I suspect that that happened more than once. People are fond of saying things can't be done. And there are a lot of things that people say can't be done. Nationally lately, we have heard so much about immigrant children who are still separated from their families. Often, there isn't even a record of who their parents are. It seems such a daunting problem. Many people have said they don't know how it can possibly be done. But just last week, a group of volunteers responded to an NPR story they had heard. They organized a 2,000-mile trip for a recently released Guatemalan mother to go from Arizona to New York. And there, she actually was finally reunited with her three children. It only took them 8 days to do this. The volunteers said they did not want to wait for the government to do it. They didn't listen to naysayers. They didn't spend months preparing. They simply saw a need and they went out and they tried. They described themselves as just a bunch of moms. Well, this probably is not a newsflash to you, but we are just a bunch of Christians. We are not that different from that ordinary bunch of moms, or from that ordinary group of fishermen. I wonder if we might possibly be waiting to feel more prepared before we are comfortable with making such a huge leap from disciple to apostle. But take just a moment with me this morning and imagine what God might be in the process of calling us to do. Perhaps, like Ezekiel, you have been hearing God speak to you. Maybe you might just be feeling the gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit as she moves in some new way. Maybe we've been dismissing it. Maybe we believed that we are not prepared to respond. It's a scary thing to go out into the world and do something without feeling completely prepared. It is an act of faith. It also means admitting that we are not really in control at all. God is in control. And God does not promise us that life will be perfect or even easy. Still, like those 12, we might just surprise ourselves. It might be amazing. Many years from now, maybe even hundreds of years from now, some other ordinary group of people might look back and say, how could they have done so much with so little? Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.